I'm pretty aware of the fact that it's easy for me to place demands upon you. To tell you, you should do this, you should do that, you know, you got to do such and such. As your pastor, I want you all to experience my concern and my care. I want you to be able to know that I'm here to hear your needs and your concerns. I want to be a loving shepherd. However, I recognize that I'm limited. I'm not always able to respond perfectly or well to the needs and requests that come my way. And I am not always a good image of Christ. No priest is. We're not perfect. Hopefully we all know that. The Lord does work through pastors of souls. We priests are put in a place where we have an authority. We have gifts that are given to us. And we hope that we can use these gifts so that we can all journey well. But when people put all their hope in their priests, it can lead to problems because we are imperfect. You must recognize that we will at times disappoint you. It makes me very sad when I hear about someone who left the church because of what priests have said or done, whether it was a disagreement, an unkind word, or a truly evil act, all of which do occur at times. All the more, because of this, I want to encourage us to foster a deep prayer life and a relationship with our Lord. It takes strong faith to weather the storms that we are going to experience in our lives, or these little things that can upset us. Even in our parish communities, we experience at times challenges. And if we are tied to a priest rather than to God first, or to a single person, whoever they are for that matter, rather than to Christ, we will be tempted to leave if that relationship goes sour or if that person themselves leaves. But Christ never leaves. He's always present. He's always here for us. So I want us to grow in that relationship. I want to say some more words concerning, continuing on last week's theme with regard to developing that spiritual life. I hope that you all have this desire to develop a prayer life. It is a necessary thing. But it will look a little different for each one of us, depending on our circumstances, right? The stage we are in life, our vocation, our work schedule, our family schedule, all the different things that come into play, our age, our experience. So, depending on our state in life and so forth, our experience is going to be a little different. And it might be difficult, it might seem difficult to develop this prayer life. It might seem so impossible at times. But that doesn't mean you can't become a person of prayer. We're all called to this. Prayer is like that furnace, I would say, in our spiritual life. If the furnace is not lit and burning, the house will be cold. It doesn't need to run all the time, but it needs to be consistent and functional. Otherwise, we can't make progress in the spiritual life. If a fire isn't burning, no matter how much firewood you put on the fire, you're going to get no heat. There are three principal areas or difficulties for beginners in prayer. One would be inexperience, one is just a lack of generosity, and the third is distractions. On account of our inexperience, oftentimes beginners will often turn prayer into like a philosophical or a theological sort of thesis to ourselves. We sort of preach to ourselves, and this becomes our prayer, right? We sort of develop a thread of thought, which isn't a terrible thing. It does have some benefits, but it would profit us more if we focus on inviting the Lord into our lives rather than just preaching to ourselves. Poor me, right? I have to preach to myself every week. Yeah. It's tough. But if prayer is to bear practical fruit, we must be allowing it to become this personal act. We ought to consider the revealed truths that God has given to us and what we can do to live out these truths. How can we live in them as a person living in the world? So we must make acts of the will, in other words, a resolution to do something. How will I respond to God in a lived and practical way? An example would be, maybe you make a resolution. I won't go on YouTube because when I do, I always, without fail, spend at least an hour watching funny videos that are really funny, but do me no good. Anybody else done that before? So you make these resolutions, right? And then you try to live them out in a practical way. Take time in your prayer to make acts of adoration, thanksgiving, acts of humility, and expressing our love for God. You know, it might be helpful to sort of develop a little sort of simple prayer routine that you do, where you sort of have these certain things that you do. In the beginning, that might be helpful, just because it can be very challenging to know, where do I start? How do I develop this? Especially for beginning for the first time, you've never done it before. But like a basketball player, in the beginning, they have to focus a lot on the basic skills, right? Dribbling is a challenge, and shooting perhaps, and passing. But eventually, as these skills develop, they become just a natural thing, right? We can just do them. We focus on the game, not on these particular things. And then it's the same thing in our prayer. As we develop, it becomes natural how we relate to God, how we speak to God. And we don't have to think about the form so much. What God is asking for us oftentimes, I think, when we experience discouragement, is to persevere. Often, as I mentioned last week, in the beginning, we get a lot of consolation when we first have a conversion. We get a lot of joy in prayer, going to prayer. It's very consoling. But eventually, aridity and dryness are going to come. And thinking about ourselves, we might kind of say, well, gosh, maybe God abandoned me. We drift into carelessness or thoughtless prayer. What the Lord wants us to do, He wants us to exert ourselves, to let go of the need to feel successful in prayer, and rather just offer ourselves. It is usually more profitable to us to persevere in dry and difficult prayer than to bask in consolations that might be offered. When love is tested, then it is confirmed. Think about a difficult marriage or a difficult moment in a marriage. You know, those are the moments when we can be generous. Those are the moments when we can manifest true and deep love. We know by faith that God is with us every moment of our prayer. And so when we don't feel His presence, it is the true expression of love to linger there, giving ourselves to Him and speaking to Him. The greatest obstacle, we might say, for beginners in prayer is distractions, right? We all have probably experienced that. If you've tried to pray, you've experienced distraction. Worldly ideas and temptations seem to bombard us in the moment when we try to begin to pray. These disruptions can sap our desire or our confidence, making it feel as if we're wasting our time. So I think it's helpful to offer a distinction. There's a difference between willed or unwilled distractions. So something that is willed, right, I sort of set out on the distraction myself. I say, well, I got to be here for 20 minutes of prayer. These first 10 minutes, I'm going to think about all the things I need to do today, or something like that. At times, we find ourselves distracted, and we might not intend that. And if it's unintended, the moment of decision comes when I recognize, oh gosh, I'm in distraction again. Then we turn our gaze back to Christ, inviting the Lord to speak to us, or inviting the Lord to show us what He wants us to focus on. Rather than recriminating ourselves or beating ourselves up, we should just turn to the Lord and say, okay, I'm with you again. Don't worry about the distractions. If it's unwilled, no harm done. If it's willed, that's when we become blamerly, if we start heading down a path where we turn away from Christ. So repel those distractions when they come. Meet them at the door of your heart, as it were. Once they gain entry into the home, it becomes much more difficult to resist. This effort in warding off distractions is praiseworthy, and even if we spend the whole time of prayer just turning back from distractions, it's not a bad thing. You know, there is merit or worth in that. God sees our effort to try to be with Him. It's like when you, if you have a family, you got a lot of little kids, you go to grandma's house and you want to speak to all the relatives, right? And you don't get to talk to anybody because you're caring about all the little kids. You never get to say anything to anybody, but they know that your intention is that you're there, you're with the family, and that's what you want to express, is that this is an important celebration, whatever it is, and we're here. That's an important thing. You might try something like a devotion, like the rosary or the chaplet or spiritual reading or scripture. These might be used as ways to help us focus in those times of distraction. But the focus should again be encountering God, not simply finishing the reading, right? Sometimes we get focused more on the reading or the devotion, than really meeting God. And when the Spirit moves us and starts to speak to us, follow that lead. Where is the Spirit drawing you? Don't go and get focused on just finishing. I know that's just difficult for me, but say you read a passage of Scripture and you're drawn to something and it starts to help you meditate, really. Don't feel like you need to finish the chapter or even the verse. Just be with the Lord in that moment where He's speaking to you. If we read the same verse of Scripture every day and it leads to communion with God and we never finish the chapter, I would say that is a beautiful, good thing. So prayer is an essential part of our lived faith. So I beg you to develop this prayer life. It is possible. You can do it. No matter how old or how young we are, we're all called to encounter God and pray daily. This is the sustenance that gives our life of faith meaning. It gives us the capability to live the life of faith. So let us ask the Lord, beg the Lord, really, to help us develop this life of prayer.